hello, friends. Thanks for listening to the Union of Time Thieves. It is just about 11 o'clock and Sudden Radio Project will be in your ears momentarily. So stay tuned to KBOO Portland.
Then am I supposed to start talking, Schlichtenstein?
Not yet. Whoops.
Whoops.
This is for you,
Dad. Why are you saying whoops?
No reason. Good day, ladies. My name is Dr. Nine.
What are you doing? This is my ad, not yours.
Ow!
Give me that. Good day, ladies. My name is Dr. Nine. Thank you for answering my personal ad. I'm a young at heart, Teutonic single man in search of a woman who will sweep me off my feet and into the land of my dreams. You don't think that's laying it on a bit thick, do you, Schlichtenstein?
Oh, the thicker the better, Doctor.
I'm looking for a mate, not a milkshake.
Trust me.
I enjoy fine dining, intelligent conversation. What does that say, Schlichtenstein?
Long walks on the beach.
But I hate long walks on the beach. Besides, it's so cliché.
No, it's not cliché at all, Doctor. The ladies will fall for that one every time.
Whatever you say, Rico Suave. Is there any way to re-record this?
Of course, Doctor. But why don't you read the rest just for practice?
Capital idea. Enjoy fine dining. Intelligent conversation, long walks on the beach, laughing maniacally, and plotting the destruction of civilization as we know it. I told you to cross those out.
Ow, I did. My pen ran out of ink.
Oh, my bad. I have searched for a lifetime to find a woman who is the perfect balance of cunning and charm, recklessness and restraint, propriety and perversity, madness and sanity. I do not seek a mere girlfriend, lover, or wife, but an Oberfräulein who will march shoulder to shoulder with me as we trample the wreckage of the world we will obliterate and ascend the highest pinnacles of power where we will rule for all time over the realm designed by the mind of...
Fellow citizens of Oregon, a few short weeks from now, you will be asked to make an extremely difficult choice. Who is the best man to lead our state for the next 4 years? 4 years of economic uncertainty, 4 years of budget shortfalls, 4 years of stupefying change, 4 years when a man of strength and tenacity will be most desperately needed. You may think that the two candidates for governor of Oregon are essentially the same. There is one way in which the two candidates could not be more different. There is only one man in this year's race for governor who reaches down to retrieve a book from the top shelf at the library. There is only one man in this year's race for governor who has to duck when he walks into Safeway. There is only one man in this year's race for governor who can't buy a pair of jeans off the rack at Macy's. There is only one man in this year's race for governor who knows how to post up strong and take it hard to the hole. Vote tall this November. Vote Chris Dudley for governor.
Thank you.
Can you come over right now? That's how it started. Long after it ended. Before, I had left because she told me to leave. I didn't know why. I assumed another guy. She never said. But when Sadie said, can you come over right now? She was asking me to go back. Why did I go? I guess the tone of her voice, falling dead sound in her voice and a distinctive whine. It was one of those Home Depot wireless doorbells. I installed it last year. What a year. The stickum was all fouled up, barely hanging on. Chime sounded dull, muffled, you know. The door wasn't wood, it was vinyl or something, light. I kicked it in. I hurt my leg, my hip. That detail, you'll see, is sort of important later.
You must be the ex.
Where's Sadie?
We can do knives. We can do fists.
No thanks. Where's Sadie?
In the next room. In the closet. She may be alive. She may be dead. If she's alive, she's dying. We're all dying, aren't we? You want to help her? Why do you care?
She called.
She's not yours anymore.
Who are you, anyway?
Name's Dart. Time's a-wasting. You want to help her? Then choose. Knives? Or fists. Trust me, you don't want me to choose.
I'll call the cops.
If you can dial while you're tuning in Lady Sadie's dark foyer. If you can dial while you're running down Lady Sadie's driveway. If you can dial, why say dial? Punch the keys. If you can punch the keys with a hound on your trail and a man on your back and a sound in your throat like a pigeon right before its neck gets rung.
I guess fists.
Good choice.
Throat's like dry desert. I'll take another breath. Oh, Jesus, save their souls. Nothing holds them in but thick bones and a few thews. How could I save them from themselves? Could I love the master who pinches my scuff and kisses me with his blood-sweaty lips? My master will either die or kill. For me. For me. What can I do? Not breathe? If I did not live. But I will take another breath. But I will take another breath. So quiet. No sound. Take another breath, but I can't hear when I breathe. No sound. But I know they go to the ring, and I'm their object. They used to call it honor. Death for possession. That was honor. I have never been so. What do I feel? I'm afraid I feel deep down some thrill. It's excitement. I know that sound. Oh Lord, my master's here. Who is he? Which one? Here I am helpless. Jesus, I pray this agony will last.
I'm not much for fighting. My hip was stiff, and I had to lead with my left. Dart was quick. Maybe he was a boxer once. His nose was kind of crooked, come to think of it. Not an attractive guy. I'm right-handed, so...
So then, Mr. Jim. So, do you think your ex-wife is in trouble?
That's harder than your other questions. I can figure the dog collar. They crucified me without having to break both my arms, I guess, because the knife kept the right one pinned up. You know about what I was doing there. You have the whole story. I never saw Sadie's face like it was while I was hanging there, watching. No, I don't know.
So, you don't know if your ex-wife went willingly with this Dart fellow, even though you witnessed them together?
I don't know.
Now I'm ready to close my mind. And now I'm ready to feel. feel your hand and lose my heart on the burning sands. And now I want to be your dog.
Dr. Nine!
It's about time, Schlittenstein.
Sorry, Doctor, but it's not as if I can't just run down the mini-mart and pick up these kinds of ingredients.
True. Oh, sous-chef of my sensual stew, what did you find to add to our love potion number 9?
First, I have a lock of hair of Fabio.
Fantastic. I always wanted to have a mega manly mane.
And the pants of Tom Jones.
Oh, goodness. I hope we have enough Crisco for me to slip into those.
Oh, don't worry, Doctor. You'll slide right in with the help of the empathy of Slick Willie Clinton.
I'll feel your pain and whatever else you've got under that dress.
Yes, you will, Doctor, because you have the charm of Elliot Spitzer.
Elliot Spitzer?
The Kennedys are all dead, Doctor.
Pity. They don't make philanders like they used to. A little spritzer of Spitzer will have to do. Put it on the pot, Schlittenstein. Our concoction is almost complete. Bubble, toil and trouble. Let this cauldron of love reduce the world to rubble.
I have something else for you, Doctor. I have found a perfect guinea pig to test your potion of passion on. Listen.
Good day, Herr Knight. My name is Dr. Diaz.
Well said, Doctor.
Wait, I'm recording.
Oh!
I, too, am a person who enjoys the practice of, shall we say, bad medicine. And I would be most gratified to find a partner with whom I could write humanity a most pernicious prescription.
Do you like the alliteration, Doctor?
No!
Oh!
It's too damned hard to read. Please respond as soon as possible, Doctor. I am dying to see you. Even though we have not met, I feel that we are both cut from the same cloth. A sinister shroud that will blot out the light and plunge the world into an abysmal gloom. And the pathetic souls who emerge from the murky morass will raise their trembling lips to kiss the ascendant ass of...
Dr. Diaz!
That was the worst rhyme ever.
I thought it was funky fresh.
It was moldy and pest-ridden at best.
Why don't you write it then?
Oh, I'm
not
happy
with it. Write it yourself. Why am I doing it?
Nice theme music. Short and to the point.
Oh, what do you think, Doctor?
What do I think? Never in my wildest dreams could I have expected to land such a delightfully diabolical damsel. She will be my first and most prized conquest, Schlittenstein. After that, the rest will be like proverbial putty in my hands. With the women of the world swooning at my feet, their hapless husbands and beleaguered boyfriends will be powerless to prevent my meteoric rise to absolute power. At which time, from sea to boiling sea, the planet will bask in the ghoulish glow of searing summer of love and dance to the wrenching rhythm of the disastrously drumbeat of... Dr. Nine!
Dr.
fellow citizens of Oregon, a few short weeks from now, you will be asked to make an extremely difficult choice. Who is the best man to lead our state for the next 4 years? 4 years of economic uncertainty, 4 years of lost jobs, 4 years of rising anxiety, 4 years when a man of experience and integrity will be most desperately needed. You may think that the two candidates for governor of Oregon are essentially the same, but there is one way in which they could not be more different. There is only one man in this year's race for governor who was born in 1947. There is only one man in this year's race for governor who is eligible for Social Security. There is only one man in this year's race for governor with long gray hair. There is only one man in this year's race for governor who was embarking on a legendary journey through Oregon politics when the other was embarking on a journey through high school. Vote old this November. Vote John Kitzhaber for governor.
Just stands there, answers the door.
Wait, I'm combing my hair.
You don't have any Schlichtenstein.
Oh, you're wrong, Doctor. I have one left, and I wanted to be just right.
This is my date, not yours, Dummkopf. Answers the door.
So much for a good first impression. Good evening. Are you Dr. Diaz?
Yes, I am.
Welcome to my humble abode, Doctor. It's a pleasure to meet you. This is my assistant, Schlichtenstein.
That's quite an unusual name.
Well, I'm quite an unusual person, as you can see.
Oh, Doctor, there you are.
What are you doing? I told you stay in the car.
I know, but you rolled up the windows and took the keys, Doctor. I could have died in there. Aren't you going to introduce me?
This is my assistant, Fritzenstein. This is Schlichtenstein, and,
I am Dr. Nine. What were you saying about first impressions, Schlichtenstein?
Don't worry, Doctor. I'll be too busy entertaining the second third wheel the rest of the night to get the word in edgewise.
Do you mind if my assistant joins us? It will be a double date.
The more the merrier.
I beg to differ.
You have quite the impressive home. Excellent architecture.
The doctor designed it himself. It is modeled after the famous Tyrolean castles of Central Europe.
How completely fascinating. You describe it so eloquently.
Why don't you fetch the wine, Schlichtenstein?
But I haven't had a chance to spike it or...
Oh, are you going to slip her a Mickey?
No.
I think they call it a roofie nowadays.
Schlichtenstein means is he needs to open the vine, right, with a spike. He uses a spike to open it rather than a corkscrew. That's why he said spike the vine, yes.
And it has nothing to do with adding a potion that will make you lose control of your faculties and slavishly obey all commands given to you.
Isn't he a riot?
Yes, and his master is quite entertaining, too.
You have a very unique approach to things, Schlichtenstein.
Oh, why, thank you. It's nice to meet someone who can appreciate the way I think.
I certainly do.
You'll appreciate the way he serves the wine as well, right, Schlichtenstein?
Yes. I learned a thing or two as a teenager when I spent some time in France.
Oh. Did you now? I love France.
Don't we all? Especially the wine country.
How long did you live there?
Well, it's a long, complicated story. You see...
Fetch the vine, Motormouth.
Ow!
Sorry, you a fly landed on your cheek. I'm very passionate about hygiene.
I see.
I'll be right back.
Be sure to wash your hands while you sing Happy Birthday 2 times.
I sing it 3 times myself. I find it helpful, not only for infection control, but also for self-esteem, because it makes every hand washing feel like a birthday party.
How did you get started in medicine?
I am not a medical doctor.
Then you are...
A PhD.
A doctor of the mind, because the brain is the root of all health and disease, isn't it, Doctor?
To put it in utterly simpleton terms, yes. I think I'll need a glass of wine before I can explain it fully.
Yes, I see. Schlichtenstein, are you stumming the grapes or what?
I think you should come here a minute, Doctor.
Nonsense! We want our wine right now!
Oh, whatever you say.
Just what the doctors ordered.
One for you.
Thank you.
And one for you.
Grazie.
And one for you.
Oh my, it's quite bubbly.
It's a sparkling wine. So hard to get champagne on short notice, you know?
Mine's not bubbling at all. And theirs aren't either. Yours is the only one, Doctor.
Oh, that's because I poured yours first. The top of the bottle is always the most effervescent. I thought the special lady should have a special glass.
How very thoughtful. To a special night.
Cheers!
Wow. That's more powerful than I expected.
Are you all right, Doctor?
Yes, I'm fine. It's just that this wine tastes like Fabio, Bill Clinton, and Elliot Spitzer all rolled into one.
Really? Let me try.
No, wait.
I'm starting to feel a bit unsteady.
Oh, me too.
It's working, Doctor.
The room is spinning.
Yes, yes it is, but around a single point.
Excellent, excellent. Focus on that point. You will see a person there. That person is now your master.
That person is now my master.
And you will do whatever they say.
And I will do whatever they say.
Do you know the name of your master?
Yes, I know the name of my master.
Tell me the name of your master.
My master is Dr. Nine.
Very good.
My master is Schlichtenstein.
Very... What?
Whoops.
Whoops. Why are you saying whoops?
Well...
Tell me.
My last hair fell into a glass when I was whoring. I tried to fish it out, but then you told me to hurry up.
What is thy bidding, Master Nine?
Since why is this monstrosity mooning over me and not you? They both drank from the same glass.
Oh, nothing can fight pure animal passion, Doctor.
What is thy bidding, Master Schlichtenstein?
Oh, ravage me.
Your wish is my command.
What are you doing?
Do you know how long it's been, Doctor?
I don't want to know. We have a chance to decimate civilization and command an age of incredible chaos. And all you can say is ravage me.
Your wish is my command.
No, 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 I wasn't talking to you.
Me love you long time.
Get your hands off of me. Schlichtenstein, Schlichtenstein, help me.
Sorry, Doctor. I've got my own lusty lass to entertain. You're on your own.
Oh, cursed fickle flower of love. I should have known better than to base a diabolical design on such an inconstant emotion. And not only will I not die alone, but with this hideous thorn embedded in my side.
Yes, Master Nine, I will gladly take you to bed.
Wait! Ah, no! Oh, why not? Resistance is as futile as my ambition. I have made my bed, and now I shall lie in it. And a morose, mutilated mattress will be all that will remain as a monument to the miscarried marriage of...
Sharon! Hi, sweetie.
Hello, James, darling. How are you? How's your health? You have a clot?
Yes, I'm doing well, though. I feel pretty good. I don't have much energy.
Wait a minute. You're not James.
I'm standing in for James.
Do you have the energy to pick up the phone and get us buzzed in?
All right. You have less patience than Dr. Zorba. I don't see anyone inside from our group.
Todd may be in studio, too. I doubt if Alexander's here.
Hi, it's James and Sharon, recording studio 2. Did you get a copy of last month's show?
Of course not. I sent Alexander a note reminding him about August and September, but I doubt I'll see anything. Maybe Todd will have copies with him. I wonder how many of the cast will come.
I've been really busy with weddings. There'll be a lot of babies next year. Is Kearns coming?
No. Okay, mind the steps.
Are the basement lights even on?
No. But I see the Studio 2 light off in the distance. Todd must be setting up.
I don't smell any coffee. Where the hell is Randall?
Are you okay going down these steps? They're steep as submarine steps, like in the Lumiere home.
It's all good. My leg's a little stiff, that's all. There doesn't seem to be too many people in the station today.
Just the deadheads in the air room.
Yes, and those people who like the Grateful Dead, too. Bump-de-bump. I hope Disbane Schumenheim doesn't come. I hate it when he...
Shh! I think I hear his voice down there.
Oh, thank God it's you.
I love you too, babe.
What's up? Why is it so goddamn dark in here?
Don't turn on the light. It doesn't like the light.
It?
As you know, Alexander's obsessed with druid sound effects, and he's been digging through the Kabu catacombs looking for a particular chant or scream that sounds a lot like the word Manglewurzel yelled backwards, except with a Q.
And who isn't?
What does he do with all these, anyway?
Nine only knows, but Alexander has got quite a collection now, and he's erected a kind of stone artifact in his yard made out of wax paper and crepes, sprayed with hardened hair tonic to bounce the sound effects from. Anyway, long about Thursday, I got a call from the cops. They'd found him in Lentz, whistling Dixie in a minor key and talking about mythical old serpentine mossy ones.
Aren't we all? And what the hell does that mean?
The other night, he found a secret entrance to the Kabu tunnels under the mic table here in Studio 2.
Tunnels?
Kabu, and most of East Burnside in this area, was built on top of way old-growth deep forest. The kind that we've never seen in our lifetime. Or the last century, even. Apparently, the first fur trappers out here banded together as a sect of diabolical worshippers and lived in the forest.
What did they worship? Each other? Don't laugh. That's what I heard. Ow, Sharon!
I had a great-great-uncle who was a fur trapper.
If he was a fur trapper, he wasn't that great.
They worshipped these inland forest creatures. They even mated with them. And when...
Oh, yes, and when they all went back into the sea...
No, let me finish. When the developers came and cut down all the trees, making it Stumptown, the fur trappers and the creatures wiped out all the construction workers. There was a massacre. Hundreds of workers and their families perished.
How come I never heard about this? What were these creatures like?
No one knows. But too horrible to describe. According to a journal found in one of the prostitutes' rooms in the second floor of the White Eagle Tavern before McMumbleton's pasteurized it, They left their bodies so they could seep into the earth and hide in the rock until such time they could resurface and reclaim the forest. The book is an accurate description of the events of the horror that followed, and even has some of the creatures chants in it for the day when they came back to reclaim the forest.
But there is no forest.
Well, they won't be happy about that, will they? Look, Todd, if I were listening to you tell this story on the radio, I'd assume that it was some crazy script you'd cooked up to frighten the bejesus out of us and the audience. It could be one of Alexander's post-Lovecraftian pastiches. There isn't a word of truth in it, is there?
You're not listening to it on the radio. You're standing here in the room with me, and you know I'm telling the truth because of this.
It's Kirsten. Why do you have her tied up like that?
It's not Kirsten. Alexander calls her Kristen, the unwholesome. Don't touch her. It's not the woman you know, who's sweet enough to get cast as everyone's daughter. It's her body, but one of them has taken her spirit. Kirsten is down there somewhere in the Tunnel of Dark Sorrows, waiting for us to bring her back.
This is outrageous. I don't believe a word of it. I'm going to untie that girl. At least take the gag out of her mouth.
If she has a gag in her mouth, she should share it with all of us. What? I can't help it.
See? I told you. It looks like Kirsten. But it's part of the horror, and I very much doubt you'd want it for your daughter.
Kristen, the unwholesome. My God, look at those eyes. They seem to be ripping off my flesh.
And you want us to go down there to look for Kirsten? I think I have a wedding to plan.
Oh, no, you don't, monk boy. If I have to go down there, so do you.
But you don't, Sharon. We can walk out of here right now and take advantage of the rainy day before it's sunny again tomorrow. Maybe we can get our raincoats out of the car and sit in an outside cafe.
You're strolling at night. The wind's blowing.
Could we? Really? Could you?
Of course. I've only worked with her a couple of times. There are lots of people who would do the Ops Fest.
You'd leave poor Kirsten down there to rot with the ancient old mossy ones?
How did she even get into this mess anyway?
She went through the tunnels with Alexander looking for the soulless room that was described in the prostitute's journal.
Do you have the prostitute's journal?
No. According to Alexander, it was stolen in 1921 by the mad Presbyterian Archibald MacIntyre, who tried to conjure the old mossy ones through the first big pipe and destroy the east side, if not the city.
Where is Alexander, that porcine schmuck? This is all his fault.
That's the other news I have to tell you. Last Saturday, he went into the tunnel alone after News and Public Affairs left Studio 2 and...
What?
No one has heard from him since.
Oh, poor Orion. She must be beside herself.
No, actually. She seemed quite at ease when I was over there the other night. Made me some curry. Look, I have to go down into the tunnels and find the room. Now. If we don't get them out of there before dusk on the 26th, the Eve of Dark Souls, they'll both be gone. And perhaps, all of Portland.
Look at her. Poor thing. What are we going to do with her?
We have to take her with us, of course.
We have to trade bodies and spirits with Kirsten and purge the demon from her.
You'll have to carry her.
Me? I just came down here for a little voice acting and no rehearsal. I'm a volunteer. I didn't sign up to be schlepping some wiggling cockamamie demon all over the bowels of PDX. What if she bites me? I'm sensitive. Did you see my Horatio?
Stop your whining and help with the demon.
Oh, why is she so heavy? Kirsten only weighs 70 pounds in soaking wet velour.
This is Kristen. Kirsten may be light, but this demon spirit is actually huge. I saw a sketch of one of the old mossy ones once in the Historical Society. They're 13¾ feet tall and wide like a TriMet short bus, with oozing pores and several grasping appendages. They can grow and change shape at will. The only thing keeping this huge thing from killing us all is that it is trapped in Kristen's petite body.
All right, already. I can't stand here all day with this thing mumbling show tunes on my back. Are we going or aren't we?
Okay, I'm ready.
Good. Beginning to think we lost you too, Matt. Did you get them?
Yes. Nobody sells D batteries anymore. I got headlights, so our hands are free. And backup flashlights for each of us in case something happens to the headlights.
What a set of headlights, brother.
Did you get a receipt?
Yes. I got myself a box of Mike and Ike candy. I'll pay you back if we get out alive.
If? Okay, that's it. I'm not going down there. I'm supposed to be taking it easy. This is no job for a trained actor in my position. I just came down here to do a script, not this. What if I stay up here with my cell phone? I could call 911 if the gooey ones start to get you.
Pick her up, you wuss. You're coming with us if I have to duct tape you to my waist.
Oh, Mama. It's gotten heavier and it wiggles like a 19-month-old toddler.
All right, everyone. I'll leave. Stay close to the what is it here? The
Super Maglite 3000 LED with lens focus.
Okay. Stay close to the Super Maglite 3000. The stairs are treacherous. Whatever happens, I want you to know that whoever survives will get a copy of last month's show at some point. I'll put Randall on it. Matt, lift up that trapdoor. And remember, whoever you become once we get down here, it's all part of the psyche of tunnels and the soulless room. Once we walk through that trapdoor, we're no longer on Earth. And we may never come back.
I should have left my cat more food.
I should have picked up my shirts from the dry cleaners.
I should have left the can opener out for John and the boys.
Let's go.
What is that? Skeletons?
No, it's old microphone armatures.
Oh. Well, it could have been skeletons.
Hold her tight, James.
Look at her. Poor thing. I wonder what her story is.
Here, hold this trapdoor.
Huh? What are you doing? I thought you dragged me down here for some post-production dubbing.
I found a secret tunnel that will take us to the underground lair of the biggest producer in Portland, Herman Merrick. And they're doing auditions for the musical version of the Children's Hour called the Children's Song Hour. I told them about you.
I love that show! There's a great number at the end by the one who hangs herself. They don't make rope long enough to get away from this mess that I'd love to sing.
Then all you have to do is follow me. If you'll only help me uncover this demon, I'll mention your name to the producer.
Demon? Sure. Why not? Never done that before. Herman Merrick, gee.
How far down are we going? Seems like we've been walking for days.
Shh, up all over underground Portland with a damn demon on my back. I'd trade it for a monkey any day. All I wanted was a little radio!
Sure wish I could have helped you, James, but with my pinched nerve, impossible.
Here it is, folks. The Great Cavern. Anything can happen now, folks. If we get out alive, it'll be a miracle. And remember, you have to go with anything till we get to the Solace Room in order to survive. But don't believe anything either, including your own words.
Word. Do you mind if I put her down now? Just for a minute, my back is killing me.
It.
Her.
It.
Her.
Daddy, I can't stay long. Roddy is picking me up at noon. Why don't you go out with Jack or one of your other friends? Get out of the house. Do you good.
Thanks, honey. I think I'll stay home and watch the Notre Dame game. I don't really feel like going out.
Well then, come over for dinner later. I'll even make you pork chops with applesauce.
In a vegetarian's house? That would be scandalous.
I don't care. What do you say? Roddy finally finished the quarter panel on the Camaro, and he's very proud of it. He'd love to show it off to you. I have cheesecake in the freezer.
Daddy's little girl.
If you get drunk, I'll even drive you home.
He's all yours now.
Happy? I think I'll just stay home tonight. Thanks anyway.
I wish we lived closer, Daddy. I'd give anything to live closer.
Is that what you think? Your eyes have always been bigger than your stomach.
Did you hear something, Daddy?
Something? Like what?
Odd. I thought I heard someone talking. I'm going to go clean up from lunch, fill the dishwasher and all before Roddy gets here.
Why don't you leave it, honey? I can do it later.
Come on. Mom used to do all that for you. You haven't loaded a dishwasher in 35 years.
Guess I'll have to start doing it now, won't I?
Maybe. Not today. It won't take long, and I'll make us a pot of tea before I go. I don't want him to be alone.
He has me.
What?
Finally.
Who is that? Someone here?
Huh?
Nothing. I wanted to make sure there were no glasses out there. My God, I'm losing it.
No, you're not, honey. It's me.
Mom? It can't be. It can't be. I must be having a breakdown. Breathe. Breathe. I can't. This can't be happening to me again. Roddy won't stay if...
Oh, relax, honey. I'm really here. You didn't think a little thing like cancer could keep me away from your father, did you?
I should schedule an appointment with Dr. Quazin again.
Oh, knock it off. I'm here, honey. I'm really here. I've come back to take care of your father.
Take care of... How is that possible?
I'm knocking out the competition, that's how. I'll have all his affection, that's how. Of course, I love you, sweetheart. My dear, loving daughter. But I couldn't bear to compete with Daddy's little girl. And it would have been okay if you'd had a brother. But you ripped me up on your way out, so that was impossible.
It wasn't my fault. You always blamed me for being an only child, for having so much of Daddy's attention. It isn't my fault. And besides, he loved you. Look at him now, for Christ's sake. He's so depressed, he doesn't even want to get out of the chair.
He's not pining for me. He's lonely, that's all. He wants you to stay with him. Then he'd be fine.
That's insane. It's not true. He's heartbroken. He loved you, Mother. I always told you that.
Let's see, shall we? Give me a little hug, honey. Oh, come on, I won't bite. I want a hug. It's so lonely over here, you know?
This is too freaky for me, Mom. I don't think I can.
Honey, come on. Even if I'm dead, I'm still your mother.
Well, I guess. Mother, what are you doing? Let go of me. I feel...
Now he'll get what he always really wanted. You to take care of him. And me to understand him.
You're hurting me, Mother. I can't breathe. I feel like something is on my chest. Mother!
There. That wasn't so bad now, was it? One little hug was all it took.
What? Where are you? Where'd you go?
I'm here, honey. In your head. I am your head now. And your heart. And I might let you out once in a while to see him, but... Oh, how good your body feels. Nothing aches. And your back is so strong. I can't tell you how good it feels not to have a backache. Oh, stop fussing, honey. You'll get used to it. I'm going to be in here for a long, long time.
Daddy? Would you mind if I stayed tonight? I'll make dinner and maybe we can watch a movie. I've got some reports to finish for work. I brought the laptop, but after that...
Sure. Honey, whatever you want. You won't mind if I watch the game?
Not at all. I'll work in the kitchen. That's Roddy. I'll tell him.
Ready?
I'm not coming, Roddy. Daddy needs me to stay tonight. I'll stay in my old room.
What? Why didn't you call me? I'm gonna be late for the Harley Club. And for nothing. Christ. Don't you ever think about anyone but yourself? You're a pain in the ass.
Go. Go to Harley Club. We'll talk later.
Dude, this sucks ass.
How'd he take it?
He'll get over it.
Maybe not. You'll have to break up with him anyway. But not for a few wild, wild nights in bed. After all, this is a good chance for me. A younger guy. Roddy isn't that bad looking, is he? Is he good in bed? Ah, doesn't matter. I'll have him a few times before we break up, and then we'll move in here. That's right.
I can't do that. I have my own life.
And you will, too. We need an income larger than your father's retirement, don't we?
Get out of my head. I won't do that. I have a life. I'm not Daddy's little girl anymore. I want my own life and my family and lots of kids and my career.
Cheer up. He can't live forever. Maybe only another 20 years.
Daddy. Daddy. It's me. Daddy!
Oh, knock it off. You know he can't hear you.
Daddy! Daddy! Daddy!
Daddy! Daddy!
Here's the tea, Daddy. Do you want one of those orange biscuits I bought?
Well, Dr. Spretzel wouldn't like me having so much sugar, but they're so damn good. Maybe one will be okay.
Daddy, it's me. Can't you see me in here? Look at my eyes, Daddy. Look at me. I'm here. Can't you see me in here?
You sit. I'll get it. Let me get it for you.
You're so good to me, honey. I don't know what I'd do without you.
And that's how it's going to be. This'll go on a lot easier if you stop resisting.
Honey, would you bring the cream?
Of course, Daddy. I'll be right there.
Of course, Daddy. 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 Of course. Daddy. I'll be right here.
Right here. Right here.
Right here. James, what did you do with her?
What did I... Nothing. She's still...
She's gone.
But I felt the weight.
I think the demon can change form in here.
In here?
I think we're in the room. Notice how the water has gradually changed so that now it's dripping up the stone walls.
Is there no gravity here?
Aren't we standing on the ground, Matt?
Alexander told me. The laws are different. Evil manipulates the physics.
What is that in the distance? About 200 feet away. There. See it?
Looks like someone's standing over a table.
What's on the table? I can't see.
This is the room of soulless whales. I feel it. Can't you? We're being manipulated. But we have to go see. Let's go.
I guess you're right.
It's her.
Her, yes, but which one?
It's Kirsten on the table. I can feel the demon all around us. But it's not a table. It's an altar.
What's he doing? Sacrificing her?
If I'm not mistaken, that's the mad Presbyterian, Archibald McIntyre. And he's going to use her blood to conjure the mossy ones through the rock.
He doesn't seem to be aware of us.
He's been dead for a century. They're both on a different plane.
What are we gonna do? We can't let her die.
I wish Alexander were here. As long as she is living, she has one foot planted in our world, and I think we can save her by destroying this one and McIntyre. Did you buy the torch, Matt?
You bet.
Do you see that book? That's where he's reading the incantation from.
It must be the prostitute's journal. We have to destroy that book first.
Look! He's noticing us!
It's too late, mortals. She's mine. They are almost here. I can feel the rubble of their faint breath lumbering through the centuries of rock. They will take back what's theirs, and all of humanity will perish for its sins. Except for us, the children of the old mossy ones. You have pillaged Portland peasants long enough. I have resurrected the old mossy ones. With a few more lines, the reality of Portland will be the domain of them. The most mortal, the realm of the sacred Eldritch clans, and then churches will grow from their energy. The town will vanish, and the older, bigger mossy ones will rule. Portland, and the Earth! They will devour us, their spawn across many dimensions, until all dimensions are one, until all the trees of the Earth become the lords of the realm, and our most holy Eldritch Elders vomit forth their bile against the purebred humans, and I can begin this glorious change with the last few words of the sacred text.
Help me! Help me!
I've had about enough of this. Torch him, Matt.
You want me to do it?
Give me that torch, you wuss.
You'll never stop them! They're coming! They're coming for you!
Get this up here. Give me a hand. I think we can get her out of there now.
I need some...
Here.
I'll help.
Put it down on the mic table.
We need to secure that... Where the hell were you?
Oh, well, I was looking for Kirsten in the caverns when the demon Kristen chased me out. I locked her in Studio 2 here, but I was so hungry I went across the street to get a panini and a latte. Is that Kristen or Kirsten on the table?
Kirsten, no thanks to you.
Well, it doesn't matter. It ended well, yes? Oh, and while I was eating across the street, I typed a little script for us to record for Halloween. Kirsten, you up to it?
Do I have a big part?
Her? What about me? We were almost s'mores trying to get her out of there. We burnt down the seventh layer of hell or something like it back there, and some Presbyterian nut tried to kill us.
Which part is mine?
And all because you were looking for sound cues? Schmuck.
Hey, come on, guys. It's an adventure in the spirit of good radio. We can't make today a waste of studio time. Why don't we do our scripts and go? What do you say?
Sure. Let's.
Where's Steve? He told me he'd be here today.
He was playing the Mad Presbyterian Archibald McIntyre, and we had to light him on fire.
Damn it. Now we're short one voice. I wanted him to do this car salesman guy. What else happened down there?
Well, it's strange. We were walking along, and suddenly I felt we were in the Room of Soulless Wonders, just as you described. I could feel it. The next thing I knew, we all started to change shape a little, as if we were becoming characters. And before I knew what was happening, we were characters in a diner in the Midwest. Someplace really windy and with lots of sand in the air. We weren't ourselves. I felt trapped, or rather, my character felt trapped. Kirsten was a waitress. She was bringing platters to Sharon and me. Only it wasn't Sharon and me. When Alexander came through the door, he wasn't Alexander. He was a cabbie.
I'll be with you in a minute, bud. Sit anywhere you like.
Hey, whose rig is that out there?
What's it to you?
That right front tire is low. I thought you'd like to know.
Thanks for the tip.
Don't mention it. Hey, Hun, was you working yesterday afternoon?
The name is Velma, bud, not Hun. No, it was my day off. Margie was here. Why?
Dropped a fare here late afternoon. Odd mug. Wore a cape. Brand new money, new bills. Thick, bushy eyebrows.
Got me. Never saw him.
Left the package in my cab. Something wrapped in brown paper. Thought he might want it back.
Thank you, sweet.
Maybe I am. What's it to you, I'd like to know?
Okay.
Why don't you eat your SOS and clam up?
Are you gonna park it or not?
Yeah, I guess. I'll sit in the booth at the end. Bring me a cup of Joe and a sinker.
You got it.
Excuse me, miss. Could I get my check?
With you in a minute, bud. Hey, Sam. Number 2 wants more gravy.
Pigs. I gave him a half a cup already.
Well, hit me again so I can get them off my back. God, my feet are killing me.
She'll bring it.
They never give you enough gravy. I'm sick of it. Every single diner from Arlington to this place. Stingy on the gravy.
We'll be home soon, hon. I'll make you lots of gravy. Oh, where's the flag?
I put it in the trunk. It was a nice service, but... Well, so how come the salute wasn't 21 guns? What? They're cutting costs?
Davis, please. It's bad enough.
Miss, could I get my check? I have to get home.
Here you go. I'll take it up front when you're ready.
Thanks. I have the 2 bits. Hang on a minute.
Okie dokie.
Nice picture. Pretty woman. Your wife?
Was. Died last year. Drunk run her over. Miss her like hell.
Know what you mean.
Thanks, sport. Stopping again.
Huh? Oh, yeah. Sure.
Do you? How the hell could you know what I mean? My wife got run over by a drunk.
Made arrangements for my mother's funeral today.
Oh. Why don't you have a seat? Can we get another cup of coffee here, please? On me, Mac. I got a little something in my flask. Will make it better.
Thanks. Maybe I could use it.
Here you go.
Is the sinker fresh?
If it ain't, hold it in the Java longer. Why are you so worked up over a fare? Dump the package at dispatch, and if he shows, they'll have it. Not your lookout, is it?
See, well, like, it wasn't just a fare. It was some guy I knew real well in the Army. We was together for most of my stint. Got pretty close. After the war, we didn't see much of each other. He was from Oklahoma. Then he shows up in a cab.
So why didn't you get his address when he was in the cab?
Yeah, his brains were all scrambled, see? He didn't make much sense, and seems like his wife left him on account of being so odd after the war. He couldn't hold down a job or nothing. He made it seem like it was an accident, but I think he was looking for my cab. I think he wanted to see me one last time.
Last time? You think he was going to turn out the lights?
I do. After he left the cab, I got to thinking about everything he said, and it seemed like a guy wanting to do himself in, you know? I'm sure of it. So I says to myself, maybe I should catch up with him and change him around, you know? Give him a place to stay, and I could have helped him, since I knew the score. I was a little off when I came back, too.
What's in the package?
I don't know for sure, but I think it's a box full of pictures. We were stuck in France for a time after one of our guys stepped on a landmine. Well, me and this guy were pretty banged up, so we laid low in this farmhouse for a few months. There was a nice woman there who was a photographer. She took lots of pictures of the three of us and said she would send them to us after the war. I didn't give her an address, but he did. I think she sent him those pictures. Said it was the most peaceful time in his life.
You should open the package.
Yeah, not yet. I know if I open it, he'll be dead. And if I still have it, looking for him, maybe I'll find him alive. There might be some luck in this package.
Okay, maybe. Don't bet on it, though. You'll make out. Either way. Chin up, Jack.
What's up with number 13?
Oh, nothing. Just like the rest of them. A dead one. Only he's not sure. Make him the dinner blue plate special. On me.
You're soft. Every bleeding heart.
No, Sam, it ain't that way. This one's kind of sweet. He'll be able to move on soon. Not like them. If he sticks around tonight, I might take him back to my room. Maybe it's time for me, too. Jimmy was a great guy, but he's been gone a long time. I ain't getting younger. I'm tired of this joint and living with Jimmy's ghost on my back. See? I'm ready. I don't want to end up like them, stuck here forever.
You do it. Go ahead. I want to see you happy. You're a good kid. I'll make him something special.
Miss, did we get the check? We're ready.
Be right there.
Are they? Are they really ready to move on?
No. The old man won't even acknowledge his son is dead. It's eating her up. I can see it.
Sad.
But I am, Sam. I'm ready.
Good. Then go.
Miss? 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 Miss?
Are and so lonesome I could cry.
And then we found ourselves still in the room, looking at the sacrificial altar in the distance, and no way of knowing where we were or how we were for a minute. It was very odd. You know the rest. How was your panini, jerk?
Cute. Okay, time's wasting. Let's do some radio theater, huh? It's almost Halloween.
Well, that was an archived edition of the Sudden Radio Project. We like Halloween so much we brought it back. That was from 2010. Contributors from 2010 were Todd Greblow, Kirsten Killingstead, Sharon Mann, Peter Armetta, Steve Copen, Matt Lutwick, Connor Kearns, and Alexander Lumiere. Listen to Radio Theater at this time every Monday night here at KBOO. And, boo.
Stay tuned for the Tiki Cha-Cha Club.
Let's put on the show.
Olé, olé, it's show time.
In the tiki 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 room, in the tiki 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 room,
all the birds sing words and the flowers croon.
In the tiki 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 room,
welcome to our tropical hideaway, you lucky people, you. If we weren't in the show starting right away, we'd think the audience too.
All together in the tiki 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 room, in the tiki 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 room,
all the birds sing words and the flowers croon.
In the tiki 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 room.
The boys in the back are called macaws,
because